Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
To Jonathan Taylor. He's at the 30. He's going to go. 10-5. Touchdown. Jonathan Taylor made a man miss at the line of scrimmage and then runs it into Painter. A one-handed INT. Are you kidding me? Kenny Moore.
What a play by Nyheim Hines.
Horseshoe is back, baby. The horseshoe is back.
What is going on, Colts Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the Bring the Juice Colts podcast. Your guys, Cody Felger, Derek Larger here as always. Guys, we thought in the spirit of almost training camp, we would do a Q&A with you guys. And so it was kind of a last minute decision, wanted to do something, just answer any questions you might have about things upcoming here for the Indianapolis Colts in training camp. And so how this is going to work, guys, is I'm going to have Derek read the questions. I'll kind of give my answer. Derek, you give your answer. We'll move on and so forth. I know you have the majority of the questions. I have a couple that were DM'd to me. I would also be doing the ones from Instagram as well to wrap us up there. But, yeah, other than that, man, I'm excited. Training camp is very, very close. Yep. Less than a week now. Uh-huh. Until the Colts are in Graham Park, I believe, next Wednesday. They are officially – yeah, which is crazy to think about. I think it'll be – four or five days, if my math is correct,
yeah,
from when we release this video, that the Colts will officially be at practicing. It's crazy to think about that, man. I cannot believe the season is almost here. Wild.
I know, right? And you said you were going to training camp practice as a fan, and I know you and I are going August 11th to Lucas Oil to watch that one, so... Man, I mean, I can't wait to actually get to go to Lucas Oil to watch one of those training camp practices. I just can't wait to see this team compete once again. I can't wait.
Now, are we going to Lucas Oil or are we going to Graham Park? Because training camp is at Graham Park.
I could have sworn it said that in August, that one was in Lucas Oil.
Maybe it's something with a preseason game or something. I'm not entirely sure. I just assumed Westfield. I assumed there was a place for
that. Yeah, right.
That'd be cool if it was Lucas Oil. That'd be incredible.
Didn't they have a couple of training camp practices in Lucas Oil last year?
They did. They had kind of like a – it was kind of like a live type of thing.
It was a live run-through kind of thing like that, yeah.
Maybe that's something similar that they're going to do there, like full pads kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
But regardless, man, excited for training camp. So let's move on to some of the questions that some of our listeners have regarding training camp, regarding all the different position battles that are going to happen and other things. So, Derek, let's move to the first question here.
Okay. First one that we have here is from Sefri at Sefri _. Who do you think has the most pressure on the Colts this year? Now, this is kind of a broad question. Not sure, you know, whether to include coaches in here, but let's just say for all intents and purposes, let's just add coaches to this one as well. Cause you know, we've had a few things get brought up about things like that. So who has the most pressure on the Colts this year?
So is this more of a training camp question? Like who has the most pressure to maybe make the roster, or is this just like a general, like throughout the season?
I think it sounds like it's more of a general throughout the season, but since we're sticking in the aspect of training camp, let's just talk mainly training camp. Who has the most pressure through training camp to perform and basically make their case to be on the team?
Yeah, I'll do both just for the sake of argument here. So I think I'm going to go with probably Ben Banigu, Kamoko Touré, because I feel like these guys have been, you know, highly talked about for the couple of years they've been here. They have athletic traits, but now the pressure's on. I mean, the pressure's on. Like, I was tempted to say, like, say Rocky Sin or somebody like that, but the Colts didn't go out and draft two corners in rounds one and two, right? They drafted two defensive ends in round one and two. And so I think for these two guys, the pressure's on more than now than ever, probably Banigu more than Touré, to really have a strong training camp. If I'm talking about, you know, players and coaches throughout the season, certainly Wright, Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, they have to have the most pressure. I mean, you basically banked a couple high draft picks to get this guy and a good amount of your cap to get this guy on your team. So, I mean, I think it would be foolish to say anybody else besides them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Kind of took those ones right out of my mouth, but I'll put another name out there, and I wouldn't necessarily say that we don't anticipate this guy to live up to expectations, because he has far exceeded expectations since being drafted. But I think of the circumstances that he has to deal with this year, and I say Darius Leonard is one of them. And we know Darius Leonard loves to thrive off of people putting pressure on him and, you know, questioning him at times. You know, he always lets that fuel him. And I mean, look at the obstacles he's going to have to overcome. He's now the leader of the linebacker group. He's going to have to be the vocal and the guy in the locker room that does those things that Anthony Walker did. And on top of that, you're about to get paid. I mean, we've been hearing the talks of Darius Leonard and his new contract extension, which may end up being the biggest contract extension we've ever seen for a linebacker. You know, so who knows how that's going to go out. So you're obligated to, you know, perform even more on top of, you know, getting those kinds of numbers. So, you know, a lot of pressure on Darius Leonard. You know, he's put in a position since, you know, ever since he was drafted, hasn't really had to deal with yet. So I do want to see how he performs with all these new obstacles in his way. All right, let's go to the next one here. Let me get this. All right. So Dawn of a New Apocalypse asks, ooh, Paris Campbell. That's the question. So, okay. So I guess we're just talking about here, like, what do we expect out of Paris Campbell for training camp?
I think like that was the perfect like question, because what about Paris Campbell? What is he going to be, man? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be fully ready to go? Is he going to be able to last the majority of the season? Like, I think right now people just have no expectation for Paris Campbell because we've barely seen him, Derek. We've barely seen Paris Campbell on the field, especially last year to no fault of his own. But it's just it sucked for Paris Campbell the first 2 years, if I'm being frank. Yeah. So, yeah, the question is, and yet now in year three, what is Paris Campbell, right? Is he going to live up to that second round hype, right? Is he going to live up? And I mean, you look at those second round receivers that were taken that year. I mean, you got the AJ Browns, you got the DK Metcalfs, excuse me. You got guys like that who are ascending players and being talked about as some of the best wide receivers in football. And then you have guys like Paris Campbell, who he's shown very high ability, but he just hasn't been on the field. And there's been so many people that have been like, man, why didn't the Colts go draft this player, this wide receiver, that wide receiver, and kind of just have written Paris Campbell off to this point. And so it is a big year for Paris Campbell. You know, what are we going to get from him? Can he stay healthy, or is he just going to continue to be, I'm sorry that maybe to bring up some old wounds, but is he going to be another Malik Hooker, right? Another guy with loads of potential, but could never stay on the field when it mattered. That's the biggest question for me with Paris Campbell, is his health. I think the talent is there for sure. I think he can definitely help this offense in so many ways. But if he can't stay healthy, the best ability is availability, Derek. And if he can't do that, you're going to have to look elsewhere.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we've seen a couple of the camp videos of him looking 100%. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he does with Carson Wentz in training camp. Very excited to see what will happen there. All right, next question from Cody Galea at Cody High Roller asks, who's your dark horse to make the 53-man roster this year?
You know who that is, Derek?
Who is that?
You probably don't know who this is. So Cody Galea, He was a training camp body for the Indianapolis Colts about 4 or 5 years ago. I actually met him down at camp, and I was like, hey, man, nice name. And we've been able to connect. I didn't even know he sent that question. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he sent that out. So
that's amazing. Well, hi, Cody. Good to see you again, man. I hope you're doing well in life. But I'm sorry, read the question to me one more time. I heard the name, and I just, like, zoned out. I was like, whoa.
Dark Horse to make the 53-man roster.
Ooh, that's a really good question. Oh, Dark Horse. I would say, man, I'm torn between a couple different guys. Do you have a guy that comes to mind?
I know, and not the one that comes right off the top of my head. You know, I mean, there's so many different positions of need in this. I mean,
okay, I don't know.
I really don't even know because, you know, I would say it really just depends for me on the defensive line.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Also kind of depends on the I think it also depends on the wide receivers. And if I'm gonna be honest, I think a dark horse here, just seeing how much work he's getting with the quarterbacks and such, I'd say Mike Strawn. I'll say Mike Strawn at this point. I've seen so many times where he's working out with Carson Wentz and even putting in extra work that other guys aren't. You know, I mean, I'm impressed with the guy's work ethic. He's been around and he's been doing a lot. So, you know, you'd love to see that from, you know, a seventh round guy who's coming out and, you know, being what we need him to be. And that's being committed. And I think that leads to potential dark horse mojo right here.
All right. I have two guys. I had Tyler Vaughns, who's an undrafted guy from USC. And I thought he's a very good player. And I was kind of shocked that he went undrafted. So I think he's one name. And then Deion Jackson, I think is his name.
Yeah.
The running back. I think he could potentially be a dark horse, sneak his way on the roster as a number four running back. Nothing against Jordan Wilkins, but maybe the Colts want to let him have another opportunity somewhere else. So, you know, especially with Jordan Wilkins' contract expiring here, you know, pretty soon, I could see that maybe the Colts electing to go with the younger guy, the kind of a different type of running back a little bit than a Jordan Wilkins. I could see the Colts potentially going that direction. So I could see those two guys potentially sneaking their way out of the back end of the roster.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, next one. Ryan Stager at Ryan Stager 7 says, I personally think Marlon Mack will have a good 800-yard year on top of Jonathan Taylor's 1,000-plus and Hines with another 400, 500 yards receiving. Am I crazy for thinking that?
Wow, that's a lot of yardage, man.
Naheem Hines rushing. He did not mention Naheem Hines rushing. He just said 400, 500 yards receiving, which I don't remember the stat right off the top of my head, but I'm quite positive that Naheem Hines did something very close to that, or if not, did it last year. And then, you know, Taylor getting over 1,000 and Marlon Mack getting 800 this year, all purpose.
Man, that would be very interesting. I mean, that would indicate to me probably a more even split than I thought, and I think the Colts will do. Now the Colts will run their running backs. I think personally, Jonathan Taylor is going to get, you know, the majority of the snaps, and I think he's going to be about on the 1,200 to 1,500-yard range. And then Marlon Mack, you know, obviously not going to have the role he had in 2019, but I still think he's going to, you know, provide some valuable minutes for you. I just don't think it's going to be like 40, 50% of the snaps, you know what I mean, at running back. So I think 800 yards is a bit ambitious, if I'm being completely honest, but I could definitely see 500, 600 yards for Marlon Mack. But, you know, and I think – if in order for that to happen, unfortunately, I think Jonathan Taylor is going to have to miss a couple games for Marlon Mack to get that much run at running back. He'd have to be kind of the starter. But certainly the other ones, I don't see an issue with that for sure.
All right. Last question here on Twitter. Okay. And this is from JP Hemlick. Who has the higher ceiling, Pay or Dio?
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
I think I know where this is going to go.
Well, I know what you're going to say. And I think I agree with you. Because I think Dio is just such a physical freak. Like, we have seen nobody as long as Dio for how long? Like, my goodness. I mean, from a physical standpoint, I'm going to say Dio probably has the higher ceiling. Now, obviously, measurables are big, but they're not, you know, the end-all be-all, right? Like, you have to be able to strap on pads and go and be effective. I mean, the Colts franchise leading sackers were undersized, right? So that I don't put very much. I mean, obviously I put some weight into that because you see what the DeForest Buckner does for your defense. But I think the ceiling probably physically goes to Dio. I'll give him the edge there, but that's tough for me, man, because I think both these guys have really high potential to be really good players for the Colts on that defensive line.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that Dio, you know, just when you look at the physical attributes that, you know, I mean, no fault of Quiddy Pay's, just isn't going to quite be able to mimic. I mean, you know, Quiddy Pay could become, you know, and both of these guys are both very raw prospects. Everybody said that, you know, these guys do have some moves, but they're not very fine-tuned yet. They're just basically big balls of potential that you're just going to need to figure out what you can do with. And, you know, Dio being 6'5 and being 280 pounds and having the longest arm span that we've seen ever come into the NFL, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And I am very excited to see what this guy can do, especially seeing the motor on him. Now, Quiddy Pay and Dio both have amazing motors. They both do. So it's great to know that you're going to have a pieces like that on your defensive line for years to come. But I just think with the athleticism and the physical peak that Dio is able to reach, I just think that is more of something that, you know, really could help this team moving forward. But I'm still hoping for Quiddy. I really hope he proves me wrong on my stats. You know, I was very critical of his stats because, you know, I wasn't trying to be like, you know, oh, he's going to get 10 sacks. Like, I didn't say that at all. So I hope he does.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move into the YouTube questions here. All right. So Indiana Sports Talk, our guy, who will be the third linebacker for the Colts next year? We got Darius and then Bobby and then who else?
That's a good question. We've talked about this, I feel like, a lot recently.
Well, yeah, we did the linebackers one recently, so we broke that down. So
we did another one, too, talking about it. So
yeah.
I think probably the front runner is Zaire Franklin, if I'm guessing right now, based off of kind of what I've seen and how much it appears the Colts like Zaire Franklin. I mean, heck, they gave him a captain badge on special teams for a reason. They trust the guy. So I think he's probably the front runner right now, but EJ Speed for me is the wild card guy who, if he can take a leap here in year three, I could definitely see him challenging and taking that spot because I think he has the highest potential of any of these guys vying for that spot. But I think those guys, maybe Matthew Adams throw into the list. I really think guys like Malik Jefferson or any of those guys really have a legit chance.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To make that starting position there at the Sam linebacker, but obviously they can surprise you. But I think those three guys that I talked about are probably the three guys I'm looking at right now who can, you know, are probably going to challenge for that spot.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think you said it perfectly. Yeah, it's pretty much the same argument we've been making over the last few weeks. So, all right, this one from FaZe Waterhose haven't seen this guy around much. He says once the season gets more active, he'll be around. But says, do you think DeMichael Harris will stay with the Colts after training camp?
Well, if he does make, if he doesn't make the roster, I think, I mean, he all last year, he was a practice squad guy. So I think the Colts could potentially stash him there again and, you know, say, unfortunately, you know, something happens to a Paris Campbell again. You have a DeMichael Harris who you trust in your system. He's had a year in your system. I think he'll, I think he could potentially be a guy you could sneak on the practice squad to answer the question.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's the same way. I don't know if DeMichael Harris really wants to. I mean, DeMichael Harris may potentially try it out, but, you know, I think that if he enjoys the spot he's at with the Colts and, you know, he's utilized in quite a few games, so I think he would probably just prefer to stay in the spot that he's at. But, you know, that's a personal preference for him. But, all right, we got a couple of questions here from JDW, our guy. If you guys haven't followed him, make sure to go check out his podcast. Does a great podcast over there. What are the chances that Sam Ehlinger will beat out Jacob Eason for the backup QB job? Trying to start an argument, I see.
Does he want to give me a percent? Do I want to give a percent or something? Is that kind of how he wants me to do it? Because I will. I think
a great percent or chance or.
I think probably under 20%, if I'm being completely honest. And that's no shot against him. I just think Jacob Eason has a higher ceiling, personally. I mean, I think he's more of the prototypical type of quarterback that you like. And I think you can afford to have a guy like Ehlinger on your practice squad. We talked about it when he got drafted, right? He can kind of – obviously, he can't be the type of quarterbacks like Lamar or, you know, some of those guys in the AFC. Josh Allen comes to mind. But he can kind of mimic what they do, right? He plays that kind of style where he can run it and pass it. So – I wouldn't mind keeping him on the practice squad there and just having him kind of be that scout team quarterback for your defense from week to week.
All right. I'll go a little higher. I'll go 40% chance. He's got a 40% chance. Like I said for a long time that I think his style of play is much more the type of quarterback that Frank Reich in their system likes to run versus a guy like Jacob Eason. And, you know, hearing what they've had to say about Sam Ehlinger when they drafted him, you know, being that locker room guy and being the guy with the edge, you know, I mean, they weren't saying that stuff very often about Jacob Eason. So I just don't know. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of great things from the inside about, you know, about Sam Ehlinger, but I don't hear it the same about Jacob Eason. I mean, that probably could mean nothing, but that's just from what I hear. All right. So two more questions. This one's kind of not training camp related, but if you got to take any player from any team besides quarterback, who would you take and why?
Oh,
I know who I am.
Who are you taking?
Miles Garrett.
That's what I was going to say.
Miles Garrett.
I was thinking of all the good pass rushers.
I'm glad that you and I are on the same freaking page with that. Yeah, Miles Garrett. The best all-around defensive end in the NFL right now when he's healthy. I don't want to hear a thing about TJ Watt being a better pure pass rusher. Miles Garrett is still a better run defender, and Miles Garrett, when he's healthy, can dominate people just as much.
And it wouldn't be much of a transition. I mean, no, really with TJ Watt, he's standing up right now, if I'm not mistaken, right? So he's like a linebacker technically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's technically the outside linebacker hybrid.
Yeah, like, I hate that.
He's an edge rusher. He's not a defensive end. He's an edge rusher. It's ridiculous. They're defensive ends, okay? I don't want to hear that crap. But who else would you take? Someone else or that Miles for you?
I mean, probably Miles Garrett. Honestly, one of those stud pass rushers. Give me one of them. I don't care. I'll take them. I'll take any of them. You know, also to kind of throw a little bit of a wrinkle, I wouldn't mind, you know, a shutdown corner would be nice also. Yeah. So, you know,
somebody like a Tre'Davious White or
that would be very nice. Yeah.
That would be nice too. Yeah. I could just only imagine having DeForest Buckner on one side and Miles Garrett on the other. I mean, oh my gosh. Like, who do you bring your attention to? You've got nothing. That defensive line would destroy anyone. All right. Which roster bubble player do you want to make the roster but probably won't?
Oh, okay. I like this question. This is good.
It's a little different.
It is a little bit different. You know, I haven't thought much about this, about that, you know? I haven't really thought about guys that I don't think will make the roster that I actually like.
I probably did this quite a bit last year, you know? Remember my homerness when I was talking about, who was it? Was it, it was not Whitworth. It was, the kid we drafted out of Penn State.
Oh, Windsor, yeah.
Windsor, yeah. Yeah, that was the one that I was talking about last year where I wanted him to make it, but he just didn't. And, you know, I mean, that was kind of me the whole offseason.
Oh, that's tough, man. That's so tough.
Because there's really not anybody on this draft roster that, you know, I mean, I think that, I mean, I know Sam Ehlinger is getting in. I'm quite positive that our fifth rounders are going to come in as well. Sean Davis is probably going to make the roster in some shape or form. And then, you know, I feel like Strawn is the only one out. There's Will Fries and there's Strawn. Those are the only two you can talk about when it comes to, when you talk about the draft picks that we may not think makes the roster initially, but then you just talk about all the other guys. I don't know.
Well, like, it doesn't have to necessarily be rookies. It could just be anybody on the roster.
Yeah, it could just be anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, this is so tough. If I had, like, a couple years ago, I could name, like, four or five players for you, you know?
Yeah, right. I think a lot of people's answer to this question is going to be Desmond Patman.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a lot of people's response to this. It's not going to be mine, but I know a lot of people that are saying that.
I could see that for sure. I could see Desmond Patman being somebody that people seem to love Desmond Patman, which is great. Seems like a great guy. I mean, kind of seeing him and working out with Michael Pittman all the time, like, seems like they're really close, have that great bond. I think it'd be cool to have him on the roster. It's just tough, man, with all the guys vying for that spot. Like, yeah. Is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? We just don't know right now. So it's hard to say we don't think any of these guys are going to make it at wide receiver. There's a ton of guys. I feel like I want DeMichael Harris to make the roster, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, you know, day one, final 53. Because yeah. I like what he brought. I just don't know, like, if that's necessarily what the Colts need right now with how their wide receivers are. So a couple of those wide receivers, yeah, I think those two guys would probably come to mind for me. So I'll go there.
Yeah. I think that's probably it, or one of these undrafted free agents when you're talking about guys like Tyler Vaughns and Jackson, you know, coming out of Duke. You know, I think those are – I think Jackson for me would be the one that I really would hope makes the roster but doesn't actually make it. You know, again, I think the Colts may divert back to Jordan Wilkins just due to the experience factor. But, you know, I would really like to see Jackson come in and be able to be that flip back that we need and somebody who could potentially come in on special teams – to help out as well. So that would probably be my guy.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that's all I have for the YouTube questions.
All right. I have one last one from Instagram, Michael Landers, 1990. He says, my question is, with cutdowns coming up, do you expect the Colts to be looking for upgrades?
Do we expect them to look for upgrades?
I'm assuming, well, just different positions. Like, when guys get cut,
you can always look for upgrades, but you know, just it depends on the position of need. You would think.
What position would you think, like, you would be looking for if you were in Chris Ballard's chair, based off of your current roster?
Either linebacker or corner. That would be probably what I would be considering.
Okay.
I'm not even worried about the wide receivers. We got plenty of them to choose from. Not even worried about offensive line, running back. I'm not even worried about the whole offense. The whole offense does not bother me at all. Basically, it's just, you know, our linebacker position, and I'm not even worried about the defensive line depth because there's a lot of it, so I don't have to worry about that. You know, it's basically the linebackers and the corners.
And that's just a credit to Ballard with all the depth that he's built. Like, over the years, it seems like the Colts have depth everywhere pretty much, except for those couple positions that we're a little bit concerned about. But yeah, I mean, I think that just speaks to how well the Colts have constructed their roster and how they found guys that can be quality backups that you don't really worry about. So yeah, I think I agree with you there. But all right, well, that'll do it for our pre-training camp Q&A, guys. Thank you for everybody who sent in questions. We really appreciate it. A little bit of a shorter Q&A. Normally we do over an hour. This one's just about 30 minutes or so. So a little bit shorter, guys, but glad to do it anyway. Glad to talk Colts with you guys. It's going to be exciting, man. Cannot wait for training camp. Like I said, man, only mere days away, and then we're back into football season, baby. Let's go.
Absolutely, man. I'm so excited. Oh, like I've been waiting for months. Man, I didn't lose all this weight just to have to wait any longer for football season, man. I'm trying to get ready for training camp. Let's go.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate all your support. If you're still here and you haven't yet, love for you to hit that like, subscribe button, all that good stuff, because the season's almost here, guys, and we want you to follow along with us as we look at the 2021 Indianapolis Colts and follow their journey. Thanks, guys, for tuning in, and as always, go Colts.